Thank you, Dwayne. Good evening to all of you, all those who are listening on live stream or who may be listening later on. So, you can see my title for my sermon this evening is that faith has feet. I got this idea a while back, and I got this idea from the Israelites and their story coming out of Egypt. So, I'm going to start off with a test. It's an open book test, all right? You have a Bible, you can look in it, all right? That's okay. But the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they witnessed these 10 plagues that came on Egypt, all right? And so we're going to go in order. What was the first plague?
Frogs.
Frogs was not the first plague. Flies was not. Locust was not.
Blood.
The water turned to blood. When Moses went out, he put his staff into the river there. You can find that in Exodus in the 7th chapter. And that was the first plague. Next, what was the second plague after water turned to blood?
Frogs.
That was the frogs. There we go. So you can find that in Exodus. Yeah, that was the next one. And so Moses is going in. He's telling, hey, you need to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, all right, I'll let your people go. And then the plague stops and he changes his mind. And so he got frogs. The next one was?
Gnats.
Close?
Gnats.
Right? The gnats were the next one. And they came in. And they were bothering, of course, everyone there, flying around, buzzing around. And the next one was?
Flies.
That's right. And gnats, then we had flies. And they were, hey, I said it was open book,
right?
That's it. Open book. You can use open book resources, right? So they saw flies, or they saw these flies come in. And again, Moses went in. Pharaoh says, make it go away. It goes away, and then he changes his mind. Oop, forgot. I gave you that one. That was the next one. The livestock dies. So that was the next one. All right, what's the one after that? Boils, that's right, everybody had boils. You know, the interesting thing about these is that Israelites are witnessing all this, right? All these things were going, and they weren't, in several of them, they weren't bothering the Israelites, right? The Israelites, their livestock didn't die. And in the boils, the Israelites didn't suffer from these boils. It was just the Egyptians. And so they didn't suffer from some of these things. They've witnessed this. They could see, you know, God was working. And what's the one after that?
Hail.
Right? There was hail, and there was fire mixed with hail. And it destroyed a lot of their trees and things. And again, the Israelites did not suffer from this one, but all the Egyptians did. And what's the next one?
Locusts,
right? They came in and they ate everything that got destroyed. Again, the Israelites didn't suffer. They're in their land where they were at, they're in the Delta, I think it was, Nile Delta, their section up there. They didn't suffer from this. So they were watching this. And what was the next one?
Darkness.
For 3 days there was darkness. And again, it was dark all across the land, but the Israelites could see inside their homes. So as long as they were in their homes, they could see. Whereas all the Egyptians, they couldn't see anything anywhere. And so they were able to light up their homes, but the rest of Egypt couldn't see. For 3 days they couldn't see. And so, again, Moses goes in and Pharaoh says, make it stop, I'll make it stop, I'll let your people go. He stops and he changes his mind. On the 9th time. And so what was the last one? That was the one we all know, right? That was death, right? All the firstborn die. And so that was when they had they were instructed to take a lamb, and they were to kill that lamb. They would take the blood of that lamb and put it on their doorposts and over the top of their door. They were told to eat a specific meal, prepared in a specific way. They were told to wear their shoes, carry their staffs, because they were getting ready to leave. And so after this, then Pharaoh decides to let them go. And even further, what happens after this? After they leave, what happens? Pharaoh changes his mind again. And where do they end up going? No one knows?
Red Sea.
Red Sea, right? And what happened at the Red Sea? Well, before that, what did he do? He prevented them from going, right? Fire from heaven. Yeah, pillar of fire. Fire from heaven came down and blocked that army, right? And so the Israelites are seeing all of these things, all these things came upon the Egyptians and didn't come upon the Israelites. Fire comes out of heaven to protect them. The waves of the sea get parted and they cross. You know, how many of you would question God after seeing all of that? I don't see any hands going up. But you know, the Israelites, they came out of Egypt, and in Exodus 16, now that's the story there where manna came out of heaven, right? But what brought that on was that they were complaining, were hungry, and God brought us out here to die. And they were whining to Moses, "We're going to come out here, we should have been staying in Egypt." You know, after all the things they saw, you know what? God just brought us out here and now he's going to kill us. What's the point? And God said, "Here's manna. And you're not going to die." And so, again, the display of God's power, God's care for his people. Then, the next chapter, the very same thing happens. They run out of water and they said, "God brought us out here to die." And what do they do? They went to Moses, and Moses strikes the rock, and water comes out of the rock. And they don't die. And so God is taking care of them all along the way. Each time they have a need, he takes care of it. And this miraculous needs, miraculous things that are happening to them that they see and they witness and they partake in. And how do they repay God? Moses leaves, and they're like, "Well, Moses is gone. We needed something to worship. Let's worship a calf." So Aaron builds them this golden calf, and they all start having this giant party. Just because Moses was left, they're like, "Oh, Moses is gone, he's left. Well, we got to have something. Aaron, make us something." So they made this golden calf. They all began to worship and dance. And Moses gets back, and it says they heard sound, and I think it was Joshua's with him, and it says, "Sounds like there's a battle going on." And Moses is like, "Nope, that's something else." And they get back there, and he grabs some of the Levites, and they have this little bit kind of internal struggle that takes place, and a bunch of people end up getting killed. And he brings them through. And finally, they get to the Promised Land. And they arrive at the Promised Land, and they send these spies in. And these spies go in, 12 spies go in for 40 days. And they come back, and they have these huge things of fruit. And Caleb and Joshua tell them, "Oh, it's wonderful, it's great." And all the spies say, "It's wonderful, it's great. The produce there, the livestock, the land, it's wonderful." And Caleb and Joshua were like, "Let's go get it. You know, we've seen all these things that took place. God has protected us in the wilderness. He's fed us. He's watered us. He's kept us from destruction. He promised us this land. Let's go take it." And the others, the 10 others, were like, "Nope. It's not possible. There's giants. They're huge. They got walled cities. We can't take that." And so they get together. You read that story there. It's in Numbers in the 14th chapter. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one another, 'Let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt.' And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." So here again, they're crying out, "It's impossible. God brought us out here to die. We're all going to be slaughtered. We're going to go back to Egypt. We're going to go back and be slaves to Egypt." And Moses and Aaron, they give up. Like, "Ugh. We've been through this over and over and over again. And you've seen these wonderful things. There's bread coming out of heaven to feed you every day. There's water in the desert coming from a rock. Fire from heaven. The seas are parted. Plagues are out, and they didn't bother you. You were spared from the angel of death. You've got all this way." And Moses and Aaron must have felt pretty frustrated because they just gave up. Everyone gave up. And so they're upset. God's upset. He tells Moses, you know what? Maybe I am going to destroy these people. And Moses pleads with them. In verse 20, Numbers 14, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. So it gives. He said, all right, I won't destroy this people. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So God says, you know what? I'll spare you. I'm taking that promise back for a little bit. You're not going to go into the promised land. And why? Why wouldn't they go into the promised land? Well, because their faith didn't have any feet. They were unwilling to walk where God asked them to go. Time and time again, they saw God's miracles, they saw his signs, they saw his wonders, and it was right there in front of them. They had no feet with their faith. They weren't willing to walk in the path that God asked them, even though he'd shown them time and time and time again. They weren't going anywhere. Go back out in the wilderness. He said, every single one of you is going to die before I allow anyone back in, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. They were different. Verse 24, when my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb's faith, it had feet. He was willing to go in. God, I've seen all these things. God, I will follow you. I'll follow where you ask me to go. I can see all the giants, but you know what? You've protected us. You've delivered us. I'll go. Verse 30, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell there and save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua, the son of Nun. And Joshua, his faith, it had feet. He says, you two get to go. Moses, Aaron, everyone else, you're out. You've given up. You've laid down. Your faith isn't following where I've asked you to go. I've transgressed. I've shown you miracle. I've shown you wonder. Protected you. Every step of the way. You're not allowed in. Maybe your children will respect me. Maybe your children will have faith. Joshua and Caleb have faith. And it took them places. So after 40 years in the wilderness, it doesn't seem really fair, does it? I believed you, Lord. I answered your call. I was willing to go. And now I've got to wait 40 years. Doesn't seem very fair. But you know what? Their faith kept them going. Their feet kept walking. You look in the first chapter of Joshua, 7th verse. This is where Moses has died, and God, it's been 40 years. God comes to Joshua. This is what he tells him. In the 7th verse, only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He's telling him, your feet need to follow the law. Your faith must follow the law. Go where I tell you to go. Do what I tell you to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's the same as before. God's saying, you follow my law. You follow my rules. You follow what I've told you to do, where I've asked you to go. I will take care of it. I will deliver you. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and have good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You follow me. I will carry you. I'm going to take you. So he gives Joshua this. He said, you are the one. You are the one that said you were willing to follow me. I'm going to give charge to you. You're going to lead these people. This is what I'm going to tell you to do. Think on my word. Follow the law that Moses gave you. You set your feet on that course, and you will have success. I promise it. And so Joshua goes to his people, and he begins to speak to them, telling them what's going to happen. We're going to go to the promised land. Joshua, in the first chapter, 16th verse, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. They say, we will follow you. Our feet are going to follow you. Our faith is going to take us, because we believe that God is with you. And they go even further. In the 18th verse, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So you know what? People don't listen to you. We're going to take them out. We can't have weakness. We can't have dissenters. There is no room. So they declare this faith. And Joshua declared his faith. They've all declared, I trust you, Lord. And so they go in. And they send a couple of spies into Jericho. They're still not in the promised land yet. And they send these two spies in. You know, and these two spies go in. And they go into Jericho. And we know the story. Rahab, the harlot, takes them in and says, hey, they're looking for you. They know you're here. They're scared. I'm going to protect you. So she hides them, lets them down over the wall. They escape. And these two spies come back to Joshua. Verse 23, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. So all these things happened. They were being chased. They were being sought out. They had to hide. And this is their response. Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. They've heard about us. They've heard about the miracles. They've heard what you've done for your children. And they're scared. It's ready for us to go in. So they have these declarations, these, yes, we're ready. We're ready to follow. Let's do this. And you know, there's always a challenge to faith. We go in Joshua in the third chapter. Fifth verse, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye have come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And so, that's the order, right? You're going to grab the Ark of the Covenant, you're going to go to the River Jordan. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. They shall stand upon a heap. It came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they bear the Ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For the Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of harvest. That's a quick little verse right there. But this is a challenge to their faith. They went to the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is flooded. It's that time of year. Now, this isn't something we necessarily experience a whole lot anymore. We have dams, and we have dikes and levees and things to control the floodwaters, you know. But back in these days, they didn't have that kind of stuff. It's just kind of a natural course of things. Those rivers would overflow, and they would make fertile lands, and that's when people would go in there and grow, and then every year, you know, it would flood out. That's how they would get that soil regenerated. But they had to step into a river that was flooded, overflowing. Anybody ever been to an overflowing river? It's not much fun. It's scary. When you get a bunch of water, flood waters coming down, ripping through, and you can hear the boulders moving, crashing. You can see there's this isn't the Jordan, it's just a river that I picked, but that was a bridge. It is not in its original place. It has been washed downstream. That's how much power is in a flooded river. And so God told him, you got to step in. Not only got to step in, you got to carry the ark, that golden box containing the stones, containing Moses' staff, containing the law. You got to carry that into the river on your back. And you got to step in. Who's up? Who's ready? Who wants to step into a flooded river? It's overflowing its banks. Well, the children of Israel, the priests, they were able to do that. They stepped out in faith. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam. That is, beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even to the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. And so all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now they give us a little bit of detail here. Now they stepped in this river, and God stopped it. Not just where they were at, but in a city down the river, all the way down to the Dead Sea. Now I got on the Google Maps, I don't know if you can see this or not, I'm trying my best. That little red dot there on top, there's a bridge there. It's called the Bridge of Adam, which is near the city of Demea. That's where they think that city they're talking about was. It was way up there. Now, if you look down the bottom on the left side of the screen there, if you can see it up, but that's Jericho. You can see here. So yeah, Jericho's down here. That's about where they crossed, somewhere down in this area here. The Dead Sea is, I couldn't fit it in there. I was trying to fit it in there, but I couldn't fit the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea is just south of that. So basically from that dot to the Dead Sea, that river ran dry in its flood time. You know, looked out, tried to do some math on that. It's about 28 miles worth of river that God dried up. Because they'd stepped out in faith. God didn't just stop it here, he stopped it far, far away. There was no danger whatsoever. And so they crossed over. Their feet and their faith took them across dry ground. And now they get to Jericho, this walled city, which they've been told about. And what does God ask them to do? You're going to walk. You're going to walk in faith. Sixth chapter of Joshua, first verse. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So they had this walled city, and it's tradition in a lot of places in a walled city. And if an invading army is coming in, you bring everybody even behind the walls. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. Because it's yours. You might think, well, they're all inside, and we're outside. And how many siege weapons? How many tools? God's saying, I'm giving it to you. Here's how it's going to happen. Verse 3, you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that they, when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down, and all the people shall ascend up, every man straight before. He says, all right, I'm going to make this happen, but you've got to walk in faith. Your feet need to take you. 7 days you're going to do this. 7 laps on the 7th day. And you're just going to yell and make noise. Do what I ask you to do. That'd be a long time to be walking around, you know, 7 days, walk around. I don't know how big the city was. It's a lot of walking, though. Their feet had to carry them all the way around. Took a little bit of patience. It wasn't like the river. They just came walking across. You know, they had to, God asked you, you know, you need to do this. This is what I'm asking you to do. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Doesn't make a lot of tactical sense or battle sense. You know, what's your strategy? We're going to walk around this city. We're going to blow trumpets at it. Okay. But you know, they did it. And of course, those walls came down. Because they were patient. And faith has an element of patience. But these people had to have patience. Alma, in the 16th chapter, verse 169. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck the fruit of the tree of life. And those Israelites coming out of Egypt, they weren't willing to nourish. They weren't willing to have patience. And so they never partook of the promise. Verse 170, but if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And you shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and longsuffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. You know, it was after they crossed the Jordan River, the manna ceased from heaven. They'd spent 40 years walking in faith, waiting with patience, and God built them. He molded them, hardened them, prepared them until all the elders passed away. That old generation was gone. And this is what I can work. It took time. It took 40 years for them to grow up in faith and have patience. And Joshua and Caleb had to wait an additional 40 years, but they were patient and they waited. And if you look later on in the book of Joshua, you know, it says Caleb, he came in and he asked for this inheritance and Joshua gives it to him. And part of that says, you know, I was 40 years old when I went in as a spy. And now I'm 60. 65, actually. It's been 5 years. 65 years old, and I'm looking for my inheritance. You know what's funny is it says, you know, I feel as strong as the day I was when I came here. And God blessed him. He was strong to lead. He was strong to go into battle. He's capable. His patience, it paid off. And that's something we need to have, is patience. We don't always get everything we want. know, but God has a plan. And we need to remember, those of us that have been experienced, you know, we need to remember. And Joshua knew this. He wanted his people to remember. And he wanted to tell them long after he was gone about this faith. Joshua, in the fourth chapter, the third verse, third to the eighth verse, you know, God tells Joshua, you're going to grab these 12 stones. It's going to be a monument. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? So they took 12 of these stones, and they set them out. And then Joshua on his own goes and takes another 12 stones. And he sets them in the middle of the Jordan River. And so the Jordan River is dry. He grabs 12 stones, and he puts these 12 stones in the middle of the river. So we have one monument there that everyone can see, and we have one monument which is underwater. What do you think that means? You know, it says later on, you know, Joshua says, hey, these stones are still there. He went back, I'm guessing, and looked at these stones that he left in the middle of the river. And this was the spot. But no one could see that one. They could see the one that's up, the one where they each man from each tribe had to grab a stone, a big stone, put it on his shoulder, take it. But Joshua took these 12 stones and put them in the middle of the river. Well, I think, well, there's this monument that everyone can see. But, you know, when things happen to us, when we experience our faith exercised, and we see that God can take care of us, you know, we carry that in our heart. No one can see that, but we carry it. And we can remember it. And, you know, we need to tell. Tell the others. Tell those that haven't experienced that. Our children, our family members, those that haven't experienced it, we need to tell them. This is what happens when you exercise your faith. I have a testimony. Let me tell you about it. Because everyone's going to come up against a wall. You're going to come up against a giant. You're going to come up against something you can't get over. Yeah, we all do. But God doesn't ask us to conquer walls and conquer cities. And we are called to conquer one thing. To conquer ourselves. By walking in faith. By listening. By obeying. By going places that, you know, it doesn't always make sense, God, but I'm going to follow you. Christ puts it very simply. If you look in the third Nephi, the fifth chapter, 32nd verse. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine. It is the doctrine which the Father hath given me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. If it's this that we do, God will take care of everything else. He will bring us into heaven one day. It's a bridge that we can't cross on our own. It's a walled city that we can't make it into. But you know, we don't have to conquer it. We just have to believe. And we have to walk in faith. And if we walk in faith, we can speak with boldness. If you look in 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter, it's the story of David. He hasn't become king yet, but he's gone. And Israel has been invaded. And he's been taught to walk in faith. And he walks in faith. And so this invading Philistine army comes in. They seek to destroy Israel. And they bring out this giant. No one wants to fight him. Everyone's scared. God has promised them deliverance. And they're scared. Look at that guy. He's huge. He's battle-hardened. We can't beat him. And then David shows up. and sees the fear. Just like those Israelites when they came to the promised land, we're afraid of these giants. But David walked in faith. Verse 45, "And said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee in mine hand, and I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee, and will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle's the Lord's. He will give you into our hands." And we can boldly say these things, boldly go before those giants and those walls. You know, it's not on me. I just have to believe. Trust in the Lord. And there is no giant. There is no wall. There is no river which he cannot conquer. I thank you for your time.